Well, I'd like to look in Psalm 56 as we wrap up our testimony service tonight. And I just want to share a short word. Pastor Wilson from Ireland, we were in the pastor's thing that he was doing. I thought it was very interesting. He was preaching out Jonah. And it's interesting that Jonah preached a message that was only 8 words long. And revival broke out in Nineveh. But before you get to the 8 words that he preached, there's 8 verses of him praying. And I think sometimes we put too much of the emphasis on, and I'm not taking away from preaching. I'm a preacher. I like preaching. But the preaching has to have prayer that backs it up. And that not just by the preacher, but by every believer in the church. And the prayers that we offer up is what's going to release the power of God to move through us. Now, Psalm 56, I shared with the men on Friday night, and I want to share it with you because I believe it's a great psalm, a prayer of David as he cries out to his God. He says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me." The mercy of God, how we need to every day when we go to prayer and cry out and depend upon the mercy of God. You know, the man in Luke chapter 18 said, "God, be merciful unto me, a sinner." And he cried out for the mercy of God because he recognized that he was a sinner. And we have to be careful that we don't get so prideful in our duties as a Christian that we forget that we have to live in light of the mercy of God. And what a privilege it is that we can come into the throne room of God through prayer, but we come pleading for his mercy. Why? He said, the man would swallow me up. And I'm afraid many believer is swallowed up with this world because we're not depending on the mercy of God. He goes on, he says, "Mine enemies," in verse 2, "would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." These are not days to be despondent and depressed. I will be depressed, I think, if Hillary becomes the president, but never get off of that topic. But these are not days to be despondent and depressed. Why? Because when I'm afraid, I can trust in my God. And he's still on the throne. He's still in control. And he can still hear my prayer when I cry to him. And so he said, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." And certainly there were multitudes of opportunities for David to be overwrought with fear. But he learned that he could trust his God. Notice in verse 4, he says, "In God will I praise his word. In God will I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me." I believe the more powerful our prayer, the more surrendered our prayer life is to God, it will eliminate the possibility for the lust of the flesh to overwhelm us. The statistics are alarming of what people's lives are consumed with when it comes to immorality. They're alarming in reference to the overwhelming influence of immorality on believers. But wait a minute. If I put my trust, if I praise God in his word, if I put my trust in my God, I don't need to fear my flesh taking me over. I don't know why we live in a defeated type of atmosphere. Now, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So let's live in light of the power of God that rests upon us and not look at it as something lighthearted or just disconnected with the reality of the battle that we're fighting. Notice in verse 5, he says, "Every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil." Now, I'm going to tell you, reading this psalm and reading this prayer that he's offering up can be somewhat discouraging, but he takes the back to the reality that he can trust his God and fear is removed. They gather themselves together, they hide themselves, they mark my steps when they wait for my soul. I'm going to tell you, the devil wants to pierce your soul through. He wants to rob you of the joy of your salvation. He is a worthy adversary, the Apostle Paul says, who is tracking your footsteps. He is looking for the place where he can trip you. And there is not a time when the enemy is not plotting and planning on how to destroy your life. If that be so, and it is, then certainly my life ought to be consumed with prayer. It says in verse 7, shall they escape by iniquity? In other words, you think you're going to get out of it by doing more wrong? In thine anger, cast down the people, O God. He understood this. He did not have to defend himself. He needed to trust his God who could cast them down. I was talking with, as I mentioned this morning, several pastors. I was talking with one pastor, and he was saying about some problems in his church and people talking about him and his wife and all this, that, and the other. And I told him, you know, I said, the amazing thing is this. Now, I've been a pastor now for 32 years, and I said, the amazing thing is this. People will say all kinds of things about you. And if you try to stand up in the pulpit and defend yourself, you destroy yourself. Job said, if I justify myself, my own mouth shall condemn me. And I told him, I said, dear brother, what you need to do is go to God in prayer and ask God to close their mouths. Amen. I'm going to tell you right now, there is not enough argument. There is not enough ability to outwit somebody. There is not enough speech that can manipulate and control the sinful bitterness and backbiting and strife that goes on in Christian lives. You don't need to defend yourself. God is your defense. Notice, he says in verse 8, thou tellest my wanderings, I love this, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? See, what we like to do is we like to bottle up our own tears. Because if we can bottle up our own sorrows and bottle up our own tears, then we have justification for anger and resentment and malice and bitterness and strife. We can justify all those things because when we want to act that way, we just pull out our little bottle of tears. Don't you understand so-and-so hurt me? Don't you understand so-and-so did this to me? Look, here's the tears I've shed. And David's cry in his prayer was, God, bottle my tears up in your jar. God, take it and write down my sorrows in your book. Why? Because he understood when he would go to God in prayer that God knew exactly the feelings that he felt in his heart. Jesus was all tempted like we are, but without sin. Jesus was falsely accused, it says in the Gospels, but he answered them not a word. It is an amazing thing that through the power of prayer that we can literally have God heal our hearts. As one of the fellows said up here, the prayer time on Friday night really was a time of healing. I'm going to tell you, it is a refreshing thing to be able to come into the presence of God. And as you plead and you cry out to God, there is an overwhelming flood of healing that stirs down deep in the soul of man. Why? Because our sorrows and our tears are bottled up in the bottle of God and written down in the book of God. Verse 9, he says, when I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. Oh, man, that's a good one. We could stick some time on that verse. When we cry unto God, you understand that's when the enemy turns back. You understand when we cry out to God, that's when the enemy can't stand against us. Why? Because we have one who's for us, and that's God. And if God be for us, who can stand against us? And then in verse 10, he says, in God will I praise his word, in the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what men can do unto me. And then he explains why in verse 12. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee. When you understand that your sorrows, your heartaches, your difficulties, your failures, your defeats, your enemies, all those things are in the hand of God, then you can come into a place in prayer of not just weeping before the Lord, but praising the God of heaven for his faithfulnesses and his justice working on your behalf. It is a dangerous place to get into the mindset and into the realm of being angry and upset and resentful towards God, thinking that he is an unjust, unloving, unmerciful, unforgiving God. That's a bad place to be. And there is such a release to know that God's vows are upon us, and because of that, I can render praises unto him. I'm afraid many times our prayer life is nothing more than a shopping list to bring before God. God, give me this. God, bless me here. God, do this. God, do that. Where's our time of just praising God? Thank you. You're wonderful. My counselor. You're my high tower. You're my buckler. You're the horn of my salvation. You're Jehovah Jireh. God, you're Elohim. Where's the praise of God? We don't take time to praise God in prayer because we rush through our prayers going through our laundry list of things we want God to do for us. When God wants to sit down with us, as it were, and communicate and talk to us as we praise him. Verse 13 says, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? If God can deliver your soul from hell, don't you think he can keep you upright in this life? I think so many times we get to that point of despondency because we do not talk to our God enough. And certainly there's some things I've been praying about doing with the men. We're going to be having some men's meetings together. I'd like to have some prayer times where we have the ladies get together. I'd like to have prayer time where we have families come together. Yes, bring your kids in together as a family and pray. Your kids need to learn how to pray with mom and dad in the church. And the thing is, we need to learn how to communicate effectively with the God who has saved us and made us new and given us everlasting life. And folks, that's one of the things that the prayer advance does. It brings us out of our comfort zones, puts us in an environment where we can literally allow all the distractions to be eliminated so we can hear God speaking to us. And I'll tell you, I was talking with Dave, and he was like, man, Friday night we were praying. He said, I was trembling. And you get into a prayer meeting where you literally are trembling because of the power of God that is there. I remember Harold Vaughn was saying in one of his messages that he preached, one of his messages talking about how a preacher from South Africa, Keith Daniels, when he would preach, you could not move in the place. You could not move. Literally, I was sitting there. My brother and I went down one year. The first time I went down there, my brother was sitting next to me. And we sat there, and I could not move. I was like, if I move, God is going to strike me dead. And we just sat, my brother and I, we just sat there next to each other weeping before God. The power and the presence of God was upon us. And I had never experienced anything like that in my life. I'm not talking about some whacked out charismatic thing. I'm talking about strange fire. I'm talking about the fire of the Holy Ghost coming down upon us. And I tell you, God floods your soul and he removes all the heartache. He removes all the pain. And he fills us with the joy of the eternal Son of God. Oh, that the glory will come down upon us. Prayer. It's powerful because it enters us into the throne room of God. I want to close the service tonight with some time of prayer. And this is what I'd like for you to do. If you're here tonight and you're hurting, and you need prayer, special prayer, we'd like to invite you to come. Ladies, we'll have some lady pray with you. You need healing tonight. You're hurting tonight. We need to pray a prayer, a believing prayer, that God is greater than these things. And we'd like to invite you to come. You don't have to come, but we'd like to invite you to come. And men, we'll have men come and kneel with a man and pray with him. We'll have women come and a lady will pray with you. If you'd like to pray in your pew, I'd like for you to get with somebody in your pew, sitting next to you and back of you, and just ask them, what right now, what is one thing that's breaking your heart that I can pray for you? I was telling the men when we came in last night, I said, fellas, remember this, that when we were down there, we cried out to God. We confessed our sins. It was put under the blood. It was hid in Christ. And that's where it stays. Amen. And far oftentimes, prayer meetings can become nothing more than gossip sessions to get the dirt on somebody. No, it's a time to bring a confession before God for a cleansing and a healing that comes on our soul. So I'd like for us to bow with prayer right now, and I'd like to invite you to come. Now I'll meet you down here and we'll direct someone to pray with you. But you say, I need special prayer tonight. I need a special anointing and touch from God tonight. I need to experience that type of prayer that David cried out to his God. And I want to come for prayer. You come as God would direct you. Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. You come and we'll pray with you. Father, we open our hearts to you, Lord. Because we know that the only source and means of bringing restoration and healing down in our soul is the presence of our Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm thankful, Lord, that you've given us such great promises. I'm thankful, Lord, that you listen to the cries of your people. I'm thankful, oh God, that we can experience a refreshing and a renewing in our hearts each time we come into your presence. God, I pray for just an outpouring of your Holy Spirit on each person here tonight. I pray for these men, Lord, that they've been able to leave and come away with an experience of God that has changed them. I pray for your protection over them. I pray for the power of God to rest on them as they lead their wives and their children to walk with a living God. I pray that you would empower them, Lord, as they lead the church ministries in our church, as they work at their jobs and as they live a testimony, Lord, that people's lives will be smitten and convicted because of the testimony of the Spirit of God to rest upon them. God, help us to never come to a place where we feel that we can go on without you. God, continue to stir our hearts, our souls, Lord, with the reality that we need you every hour. So bless us, God. Thank you for the privilege of being called the children of God. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of allowing us, Lord, to enter into your presence. Oh, thank you, God, for the privilege of experiencing healing in our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.